And now, here are some more of the readings that Peter Conway recorded for John Hodgson.
Christmas by John Betjeman. Much loved poem. It conjures up images of the festive season as it was in the middle of the 20th century. So at times it seems a little bit dated, but the question that Betjeman raises in the final lines is appropriate at any time of year, every year in fact. The bells of waiting Advent ring, the winter stove is lit again, and lamp oil light across the night has caught the streaks of winter rain in many a stained glass window sheen, from Crimson Lake to Hooker's Green. The holly in the windy hedge and round the manor house, the yew, will soon be stripped to deck the ledge, the altar, font, and arch and pew, so that the villagers can say, the church looks nice on Christmas Day. Provincial public houses blaze, and corporation tram cars clang, on lighted tenements I gaze, where paper decorations hang, and bunting in the red town hall says, Merry Christmas to you all. And London shops on Christmas Eve are strung with silver bells and flowers, as hurrying clerks the city leave to pigeon-haunted classic towers, and marble clouds go scudding by the many-steepled London sky. And girls in slacks remember Dad, and oafish louts remember Mum, and sleepless children's hearts are glad, and Christmas morning bells say, come, even to the shining ones who dwell safe in the Dorchester Hotel. And is it true? And is it true, this most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me? And is it true? For if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around those tissued fripperies, and sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts, inexpensive scent, and hideous kai so kindly meant. No love that in a family dwells, no carolling in frosty air, nor all the steeple-shaking bells can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine, and lives today in bread and wine.
Right, I see. Turning over a page, I see there's another one now. What have we got now?
Well, this is one, I like this. There's a lady called U.A. Fanthorpe. Miss Fanthorpe, she was the first lady to be invited to be Professor of Poetry at Oxford University.
Oh.
So clearly, up to that time, it was a real male chauvinist kingdom, wasn't
right,
it?
Right, yeah.
Now, her verses have a wry gentleness. I find them very appealing. Mm. This piece, called At the Manger, is her offer of what the thoughts of unreported observers at the stable might have been.
Oh.
She speaks of the donkey, whose stable it was, of course.
Yeah.
And then there's always somebody who tries to put the damper on the things, who can't see, tries to put ill will into everything, isn't it? She refers to that person as the wicked fairy.
Wicked, all right.
But so there are two parts to it. Mm-hmm. And it goes like this. First of all, the donkey. No room at the inn, of course, and not that much in the stable. What with the shepherds, Magi, Mary, Joseph, the heavenly host, not to mention the baby, using our manger as a cot, you couldn't have squeezed another cherubim for love nor money. Still, in spite of the overcrowding, I did my best to make them feel wanted. I could see that the baby and I would be going places together.
Ah.
Some 30-odd years later,
yes,
of course.
Right.
Now the unwelcome guest, the wicked fairy. This is what Fanthorpe thinks the wicked fairy might have brought to the party. My gift for the child, no wife, kids, home, no money sense, unemployable. Friends, yes, but the wrong sort, the work-shy, the worthless, petty infringers of the law, persons with notifiable diseases, tax collectors, tarts, the bottom rung. His end? I think we'll make it public, prolonged, and painful. Right, said the baby. That was roughly what we had in mind.
Oh, right. Roughly how it was, isn't it?
Roughly how it turned out, exactly, yes.
Right. Well, thanks ever so much for that,
Peter. You're very welcome, John. Right. You're very welcome.
And thank you.